All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're getting the most out of being at a game with American Express. The card member entrance, the lounge, and now tip-off. That's the powerful backing of American Express. See how to elevate your live sports experience at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Eligible American Express card required. Benefits vary by card and by venue. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Allstate. Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Like, I have a debt to pay to them guys. We're going to win a Stanley Cup for them.
The puck in front, Benn scores! Jamie Benn, 40 seconds in, and the Dallas Stars take a 1-0 lead in Game 7. Seeing deep, tries a shot, shut down by Markstrom, comes right back. A great save by Markstrom! He robbed Pavelski. Flames applying pressure early in the second, and he scores! Toffoli with a tip-in, and it's a 1-1 game! Shillington with the shot for the point, the redirect, and this place is going nuts. Niskanen carries in, drop pass, Robertson feeds it, Pavelski plays it over, they score! Nemestikov, moments after Calgary tied it up, puts it home, and the Stars are back on top. Picked up by Markstrom to Gaudreau, final seconds of the power play, Gaudreau dropped it off, score! Kachuk, top corner, 2-2. Continue, and now Peterson breaks up the middle. Here's Peterson, right in, stopped by Markstrom. Peterson on a breakaway from the blue line. Markstrom's biggest save of the hockey game. And for the first time in the series, we are headed to overtime. Now down low for Gaudreau to Kachuk in the corner. Back to Johnny Gaudreau. Gaudreau in front, feeds a pass to Lindholm. Stopped by Ottinger, took out high. Gaudreau scores!
Yeah. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Johnny Igudrow podcast.
Dude, you should be the freaking playoff announcer.
Could you tone it down on the Dallas fucking Ottinger fucking Heiskanen fucking nonstop every single whistle?
Holy fuck, this guy doesn't get talked enough about. Holy fuck, I'm going to talk about him some more. Holy fuck, Ottinger. Holy fuck. Holy Dallas. Oh, my God.
He's going to score the game-winning goal. You just watch. Everybody, I like how he says, like, right before the top line scores the game-winning goal. These guys have been pretty quiet. Lindholm especially scores. But some good juju, I have to say. So the last time the Flames won a game seven, and also the last time the Flames, well, the second last time the Flames passed the first round, Greg Millen was also the color guy. He has not been the color guy since round one of 2004, which he called with Chris Cuthbert. So I knew as soon as Cassie wasn't on this broadcast, it was Greg Millen. I knew it was some good juju. And holy fuck, did we need some good juju?
Man. Literally, though, I was getting very aggravated listening to Greg fucking Millen talk about Dallas Stars and fucking Ottinger.
Well, then you go to the freaking intermission, and it's like, oh, well, here's Connor McDavid. Why don't we suck his dick for a while? And
Fucking post-game. It's post-game. Johnny Gaudreau wins game seven overtime. That's fucking Kawhi Leonard shit. And we got to listen up. We're already going on about McDavid. Okay, here's some McDavid highlights. Here's what the Flames have to play next round. Kill him. I might have to watch the fucking series on mute.
Dude. Does anybody know who's calling
every game? Otherwise, I might just destroy my brain.
Like, honestly, it's already like we were texting the other night and you were like, it's scary how close I am to like murdering an Oilers fan. And it's true. Like, if push came to shove, God, I would definitely be like, I would definitely be able to kill an Oilers fan at the right moment right now.
Dude. Seriously. We're not even playing them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think I texted you. I'm like, I could literally easily kill an Oilers fan right now. It'd be so easy just to kill one. I don't know how the series is going to go. The Edmonton Oilers series. Because, fuck. You know what? This is going to be awesome, I think. I think this is going to be awesome for both fan bases. And maybe it's going to be one of those things where maybe there'll be some mutual respect for once at the end of it all. Or not.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I am, after that series we just watched, because if you've listened to this for a while, you know, I've always said, like, I don't want to play the Oilers. I'm scared shitless. After the series we just witnessed, I am so fucking ready to watch them play the Oilers.
Yep. This is, oh my God, dude. This Dallas Star series we just played, holy fuck.
This was 2 weeks of torture. Every fucking waking moment of my life, the past, and your life, and everyone who's listening live, the past, what, not 10 days, 11 days, has been freaking torture.
It's like game one was okay afterwards, right? You're kind of like, okay, right? Game one, we're excited here. We're up 1-0, feeling pretty good. After game two, fucking I was there. That was the worst game to be at in the entire fucking series. And, of course, I was sitting there row three watching it. Then they lose, go down 2-1, and you're just – this is, then all the emotions start. And then game four, they have a pretty decisive win. Or is it game five? Game four, they have a pretty
game
decisive
four,
win.
Game four, they have played the best game of the series until last night.
So there's a little bit of pressure relief. But it's a fucking nail biter, dude. Seven games deep, all the way into overtime. By the end of it, I was texting you last night, fucking game seven. By the second period of game seven, I couldn't feel anything anymore, dude. It was like my nervous system was so shot. I was incapable of feeling any emotion. I was just sitting there watching the game like a fucking vegetable, waiting for the result.
Well, that's really like, that's the only place you can be, because it's like when you get injured really bad and you go into shock. That's what I was in. It's the only way I could deal with it, was just like pure shock response. Like, I don't know how we ever, well, I guess I was just like a kid or whatever, and like the gravity, like how did we ever sit through like freaking Stanley Cup playoff? Like, can you believe the Flames were freaking in overtime
in game six for the Stanley Cup in 2004. But
fuck,
dude, like that was,
I was in the building for that, dude.
Yeah, that's,
I remember saying to my bro, I'm like, dude, you, anybody could offer me a one way or fucking round trip to anywhere in the world right fucking now, and I would decline it to be this fucking game.
It's beautiful. Fuck. Whoa. Ticketmaster just freaking, if you just heard that, sorry. I'm in line for tickets and I just got some notification that I'm like 1,500th in line. So just dinged really loud.
Anyways, okay. So like, this,
that isn't even like a roller coaster of emotions. That's like, dude, I don't even know. Like I blacked out. I'm pretty sure
there was like 4 points during that series. I'm like, do I actually like hockey?
Yeah.
Like, why do I like this? This is fucking torture. It's like, instead of fucking going to a playoff game, why don't you just go pay to get tortured?
Exactly my thought last night.
You have these little escape rooms. Oh, I think I'll just go get tortured for 3 hours and I'll pay fucking $300 to go get tortured. Like, that's what the series was like.
That was lit. Like, how many out? Like, I think, dude, I don't even know how to explain how I felt. Like, it wasn't even relief. It was just like, it felt like the end of a marathon. And it's,
it was
like
a release. It was definitely a release.
It was,
I don't know, but yeah, it was too much torture to feel relief.
Yeah, right? You were just like, it was like running the end of a marathon. It's like Kramer at the end of the AIDS walk. And he's just fucking just like wiped and just like got across the line. And like, that's it. Like, it was just like pure relief. Holy shit. When that puck went in.
Like this series, I mean, when we did our little series preview, getting ready, amping up for this, there was a few things. I mean, we were pretty accurate in terms of, you know, what we thought would, how it unfold, other than it going the distance. But Ottinger was a wild card factor, especially in the last, you know, three games. That the performance he put on last night was pretty special. But I'm still sitting there. I'm like, okay, if you just go high on the guy, because look at all these opportunities we're getting in front. Stone gets the opportunity in game six. Then Johnny gets the opportunity in game six. Then somebody else gets the opportunity. And then it's just like, yeah, he's making these saves because he's covering the bottom of the net. We're not fucking elevating it in front and tight. If we do that, we'll score. Chucky does that. Like, literally, I think Chucky hits the top of the mesh.
Yeah.
At the top of the net. That's where you have to go. Even Johnny, it's like bar down. Bar down or post in. That's how you got to beat this guy. He was pretty fucking good in game seven, eh?
I almost had a meltdown last night because, like, the flurry right before Johnny scores. I think he stopped the play. But there's a flurry where, like, I think the fourth line was on the ice. Lucic was out there. Hanifin's got a wide open net. I'm literally almost breaking down in freaking tears. Like, I was just sitting on the floor, like, screaming at my poor mom who was watching the game with me. And I'm just like, they're not going to score. They can't do it. Like, he makes that save on Hanifin, wide open net. And I mean, it's Hanifin. So, like, what do you expect?
Okay. But couldn't believe the replay. I couldn't
fucking believe that.
It hits his, if that didn't hit his stick, which is sitting there for some reason, it probably goes right to Hanifin, but he probably doesn't bury anyway.
Yeah, because here's the thing. It's like, okay, he was playing good, but like he was playing, there is so much luck involved that it's like when you're getting that lucky in a hockey game, it's just like some serious bad voodoo. Like I was just like thinking they're just going to come down and get one shot and win this shit. And it's going to be the luckiest fucking seven games win all time. I almost broke down mentally. Johnny scores on the next shift to literally save my life.
And this is honest, man. From my perspective, this is just what the fucking doctor ordered for this Flames team. They needed this, man. They needed to get pushed to the brink after the series. Matthew Tkachuk is saying they made us fight for every inch, which they did. Nothing was given to the Flames in this series. They had to fight and battle their way through seven fucking games all the way into overtime. And then they had to battle some more and fight some more. Before the series, we talked about this threshold thing where Daryl's been saying it all year. How many of these guys have won a series? How many of this core group that, you know, we've been watching for the last 3, 5, 7 years, how many series, like, they have very little experience.
Barely any of them have even, like, won more than 2 games.
And it's funny because you and I and a lot of people will poo-poo the whole experience thing quite a bit, especially in the regular season. But when you're coming down to game 7, now you're in overtime, it was pretty apparent, dude, that, like, you're just like, you're looking at all these gamers. Like, Pavelski almost iced it. Markstrom was solid. But what they just accomplished is something that they've needed to do in order to get to another level as a team and as individuals. Like, this Dallas series has really primed them. And it's not, it's like, fuck, it was an uphill battle, dude. And that's Dallas. The best way I can sum up that series from my perspective is the Dallas Stars just made you better. You were already good. They just made you better.
You just leveled up big time.
Exactly. And it wasn't handed out. You had to fucking battle to do it. So that's where the whole release, the relief comes in. It's just like, fuck, they did it. Johnny did it. It's like, you're sitting there, game 7. Chucky doesn't have a goal yet in the series. And you're like, hey, who is going to show up? Even in game 5, dude, the moment of the series for me is the comeback in game 5.
Yeah.
Because that's the pivotal game. The statistics show if you win 2 in a row, you're most likely going to win the series. And then they still got pushed to the brink. But they did it then in game 5. Dallas pushed back. Dallas had a great game in game 6. That was their best game of the series. And then fucking in game 7, you get tested to the limit. And then Toffoli finally gets one. Mr. Game 7, apparently. What a goal by Toffoli. You're sitting there like, who is going to do this? Then it's Matthew Tkachuk, ties it up. Absolutely beauty goal. And then it's fucking Johnny Gaudreau in overtime. Toffoli, Tkachuk, Gaudreau, game 7 heroes. Game 7 overtime hero.
And, like, dude, it's just, it's more than a level, because, fuck, dude, it's just like, I look at what the Oilers did. I mean, that was great. Good on them for being able to beat the Kings in a game 7. But this was just like some freaking serious 5-6 years of mental block of inability to get the job done for the Flames.
Dude, how many demons?
All on the line in overtime.
Overtime.
Like, this is kind of on the level of Vancouver in, like, 2011, finally beating Chicago. A little bit of a different story because that's just a team that has your number. But that's what it was like when Burrows scores that goal. That's what it was like when Johnny scored that goal. It was just like, demon fucking exercised. We are so much stronger now. Oh, my God. I'm going to freaking start tearing up right now just talking about it. But I think that's the best way to put it. Dallas just made you better. And I mean, I think Daryl wouldn't have had this series any other way. Yep. Because all he's been talking about this whole series is like, it's fucking hard. It's hard to win one game. It's really hard to win 2 games. It's incredibly hard to win 3 games. It's fucking monumentally hard to win a series. Now you know how hard it is. Now you know what it takes to win a series. You got to do it 3 more times.
Dude. Playoffs, man. I mean, the other big takeaway from Chucky's post-series comments, you know, the one thing he says is they made them earn every inch, and fucking rights, they did. That's why it was torture to watch. Like, every game we win is so fucking tight. Every game we lost was so fucking tight. Every moment of that series, you're on the edge of your seat.
The goals for end up being 15-14 Calgary. Unbelievable.
I mean, if you, underneath all that, look at the underlyings, Calgary is by far the better team throughout the majority of the series. But Dallas plays the trap. They play that big boy style of hockey. You know, before the series started, that was our concern with Dallas, right? you still felt confident because you know you're the better team. But you still have those worries because traditionally, this Calgary Flames core in this group has never been able to fucking play that style of hockey and win games, let alone series. Like, that's why we struggled with Dallas over the last 5 years or five seasons. But things have changed under Sutter, obviously. And, oh, man, another thing that we've always pushed back against on this podcast is the whole size thing. But, my God, was it apparent that you need – see, here's the thing, right? We've talked about this lots of times. You need a team that's built to get you to the playoffs and a team that's built to get you through the playoffs. Do you think you win that series without Zadorov and Gabranson?
No.
There's no fucking
Zadorov made a monumental fuck up in overtime that almost made me shit my pants. But, dude, those two guys, you know what? We'll talk about Stone in a minute. But the middle and bottom pairing were the four best defensemen in this series by a freaking mile.
Middle is that
Tanev Shillington / Tanev or Stone Shillington.
Oh, man. And then Chucky also says that there's a bunch of guys in that room who collectively have won a lot of series. Is it series?
I think it's just, what are you, you sound like Schmeagle now.
Have won multiple series in their career. You look at Toffoli, he's gone the distance plenty of times. Lucic is Lewis. And Chucky said, those guys said that that's one of the toughest, hardest series they've ever had to fucking win and play. And I believe it.
Oh, I totally believe it.
That's why it was so fucking hard to sit through and watch. Because I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, this is playoff hockey? Why do I like this? I don't fucking like this. I hate this. I want to quit hockey. If we lose this, I'm done.
Yeah, and that's what was so maddening, especially about last night. Is like, okay, they showed up. They did what we wanted them to do, and now they're still not going to fucking win because of this nonsense? That's what it was just like. Why do I watch this? I might have to give this up because even when they show up, play great, dominate, do everything they're supposed to do, you're still like almost eliminated. And then, of course, the lesson is the exact opposite now that they won is freaking play the way you're supposed to, and in the end, you'll win.
I mean, you brought this up. So many demons were just slain in that one series. Now, we can't get too high because there's one series. Now, you're on to the next one, which is just like, dude, didn't that not just feel like a fucking Stanley Cup final? Like, fuck. That was so nerve-wracking. But
well, it felt like our Stanley Cup final, that's for sure.
Look at the internal demons that these guys just put to bed for one round. This is temporary, but this team traditionally has been knocked on for not being able to play physical, not being able to play playoff hockey, to push, to do exactly what they just did. And you're right. If they would have played the way they did, and in the end they got goalied and that was the fucking storyline, it wouldn't have made a difference. It wouldn't have changed anything. Like, they still would be categorized as those guys that couldn't get it done. Same with Johnny Gaudreau. If he doesn't fucking score that overtime winner and say the fucking Dallas Stars do it, Pavelski does it, Johnny's still that guy that can't get it done. Not a playoff guy. Is Johnny a playoff guy now?
8 points in the first round, 2 game-winning goals in a series clincher in game 7? I say yes.
And how many fucking primary assists did he have? They're just fucking...
Well, dude, how many freaking blatant wide open scoring chances did he have last night?
Dude, Johnny was on a whole nother level last night. I don't want to hear any fucking Johnny bashing the rest of my life, dude. We called it before the series started. He's going to figure it out. He is that good. He is that guy. He's just never had support before. Never had proper coaching. Never been on a team that could actually collectively do what this team just did. Push through that threshold and beat this fucking Dallas Stars team, who's big. They play tough. They play mean. They give you nothing. They play the trap for fucking 7 games straight. And they have a fucking bunch of gamers. And they had fucking the best goaltending performance we've seen since J.S. Jagr. And the fucking Calgary Flames just won.
And won the second round. Yeah, even on a micro level, like, that series as a whole is passing through a threshold. And I mean, game five was huge, but they're down 1-0 40 seconds into this freaking game, dude.
Dude, this whole
they tie the game and then they're scored on immediately. It's just like,
yeah, how many points?
Holy shit.
How many points across the series were you like, this is the Calgary Flames of old?
And
this
how many
Calgary Flames of old?
How many points across the series would they have in the past? They would have at like the first hurdle. They would have.
They would have folded.
Game four, they would have folded. They wouldn't have won that game. And
it game five, they wouldn't have come back.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. What a fucking emotional roller coaster that was. I don't know what series two will bring. You know, you on paper, you're like, okay, yeah, it's going to be even more intense, bigger of a emotional roller coaster. But I don't know how it can get any more intense than that, dude.
I think that's the most, like, that's what, like I said, 15 to 14, the goals. I don't know how Dallas played that freaking tight for seven games. That's impressive. I can't believe we played that tight for seven games.
And like, here's the thing. Like, I got to ask you. I mean, the underlyings will tell you a different story, but was Dallas not a good team? Is Dallas not built? Like, they are built for the playoffs. If they had more.
Yeah.
If Hintz was as healthy, if they had, like, I don't know.
If Sagan and Ben were like Sagan and Ben, they would be a really good team.
They'd be dangerous. Yep.
Because that's really all they're missing is just some firepower. Like, I mean, the Flames freaking owned them 5-on-5, but that's what the Flames do. But if they had, like, if Tyler Seguin is, like, not apparently, do they even have a point? I guess Ben scored last night.
Seguin had the empty net.
Yeah. So if those two guys are even half of what they used to be, I think they're a hell of a lot better. They're a lot more dangerous.
It's interesting the way you look at Dallas is built. Like, they're all in on just, we're going to build a team for the playoffs. That's it. It's funny, though. This series, was it not pretty much reversed from the last time we played them?
Totally.
Like, Dallas was just like, let's get a goal and hang on for dear life. Like, that was...
So we did 2 years ago.
And that's why I in the back of my mind, I'm like, dude, they're gonna get through this. They're going to break.
I thought they were going to do it until... But then, fuck that game seven. Like, then Jamie Benn scores 40 seconds in. It's just like, fuck.
Oh, it took me like 10 minutes to fucking get over that, dude.
It took me. So, when it was game six on Friday?
Yeah.
It took me about 36 hours between the end of game six on Friday and game seven on Saturday to be like, I think they can do this. I literally was thinking about it every waking moment. Between Friday and Sunday, I was like, just contemplating what's going to happen. Can they do this? Running out the scenarios in my mind. And I finally come to the conclusion, like 10 minutes before the game, they can do this. I even posted a thing on Instagram saying, like, this just comes down to what Daryl's been preaching for the past 3 weeks is you just one game, win one game. This team has won 50 games this year. They're going to do this. They can do this. Let's fucking go. 40 seconds in. Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at this series as a whole, it's like, it's a scale, right? You know, those little fucking, what is it? The symbol,
metronome?
The symbol of law of the law is just the scale of, and in the balance, you have these two things teetering back and forth between the Dallas Stars on one side and the Calgary Flames on the other, where it's like everything that creates optimism for me is like, okay, we got Daryl Sutter. He had this team ready to go since day fucking minus 45. They actually were preparing for the season in the off season. Oh yeah, that's kind of weird. Never done that before.
We had a training schedule. Huh?
Yeah, it's kind of new. We had told what to do for off season. It's never happened before in this organization. So you have the foundation, right? That you saw this team. Basically, they dug a foundation all series long. I mean, all season long. That's what this team did. And we've talked about on this podcast as a talking point. It's like that foundation is for moments like that in game seven, overtime. You don't have to think. You just fucking play. Like, you think Johnny Gaudreau thought about that? No, just fucking fitting, hey, that he would score that fucking shot we've seen a million times from the goal end, essentially. Just fucking, that's how he wins the game.
Well, yeah, that was fucking beautiful. But the other thing too, like, watch that goal and tell me you haven't seen that shift from those three guys 150 times this year.
That was epic. So you have that whole thing on the one side of the scales, which is like, yeah, I that creates belief. And then coming back to the center thing of like, it's not about relief, it's about belief. Do you think the team is relieved they won, or they believe? That created more belief. On the other side of the scale, you got Dallas. Like, this is a team that went to the finals, what, two seasons ago?
Yeah. First, the bubble year, yeah.
Yeah, they beat us, then they beat Colorado.
They beat the fucking Avalanche, dude.
Dude, the Avalanche.
Like, that was insane.
Didn't they go to game, was it game six or seven of the finals?
Was it, I think it was game six.
Like, this is not a slouch of a team. This is the same core guys, the way they play. And fucking just like, you've seen how effective this fucking boring ass trap is at winning fucking series in the playoffs. Like, it's tried and tested. If you have the right core group of guys with size, it is a fucking big team. And then you have the world-class goaltending. And so Markstrom was world-class too, but he's not saving 60 shots a game. So there's these two little, the scale is just teetering back and forth, back and forth. And then it's just like game seven, you're rolling into game seven. Everybody's like, where the fuck's Tyler Toffoli? Where the fuck's Matthew Tkachuk? Johnny's already had a great series, but those are the three guys that get it done in game seven. And that's what just tips the scale to get you into the second round, to push you through the threshold. The fucking, this series just made this, in my opinion, this team better.
Better in almost every single way. I can't believe they won. I just keep thinking, like, holy shit, they fucking won. It keeps coming back into my mind.
Like, they actually did.
Does feel like the Stanley Cup.
But I don't know. What are your thoughts on Dallas? Am I wrong here? Were they?
No, I think you're freaking spot on.
Should we have beat these guys in four? Should we have beat them in five? I mean, you look at all, you put all the elements together. You look at the underlyings. If you look at the underlyings, we destroyed them.
It should have been like five games.
But you have all these different factors, right? The scale that I just mentioned, and then all the demons of the past, the Flames, is part of our scale too. So,
well, like I said, like everybody, like you can't discount a team going to the Stanley Cup final. Like, a team that does that is a good team, period. Everyone, all luck. Like, you don't win freaking three rounds. You don't beat Calgary, Colorado, Vegas. You don't beat Colorado and Vegas in best of seven series.
No.
If you're lucky. Like, plain and simple, you know what you're doing. So, I think we totally underestimated Dallas in this series. Like, I thought the Flames were going to make pretty swift work of them, with some concerns though.
Yep.
But I didn't think they were going to be able to play that tight for freaking what? How many minutes of hockey did they play? 430 minutes of hockey.
Dude, there was like 10 minutes in game five where they opened it up because they were down 2-0.
Yeah.
Other than that, they were stingy as fuck.
It was unbelievable.
So, I mean, that's why I bring that up again. The team that gets you to the playoffs versus you get both. Dallas, not so much the team that gets you to the playoffs. And I mean, that's why it's such a crapshoot, right? That's why every year, right before the playoffs, everybody makes these predictions. It's just like you don't actually know because you're making all your guesswork based on what you see in the regular season. But we know the postseason is a completely different beast. So, I don't know. I thought Dallas played a hell of a series, even though we are the better team. So, we should have won. And probably, I mean, before the series started, we said Ottinger and Pavelski have to combine to push this game, the series to 6 and 7. That was the storyline. That's why it did go that distance. But fuck, they didn't give you anything. Like, they played well.
They played insanely well. Like, I like I said, that was torture. I can't believe watching those games is just like, all I could think about is like, we scored like almost 300 goals this year and we can't like can't do anything out there. It's just like a freaking mud pit. It was insane.
All right, let's talk about game five a little bit.
Well, it's all a freaking blur, dude.
Because game fives are like, if the series is tied and you go to game five, fucking pivotal. You're on home ice, you're down 1-0.
And you've already lost the game at home. 1-0.
You've lost 1-0. Yeah. You're still the better team. You're not getting outplayed. You are outplaying them, but it's the same fucking story. And then Sutter changes the lines up. Puts Coleman back up to line two with Mangiapane and Backlund, and that's the fucking spark. That is the turning point in the series outside of Johnny finishing it off. I mean, those are the two big turning points. But fuck, that third period, there's 13 minutes left in the game, and Mangiapane, like the Flames were pressing, man, and that line was looking good. There's a few amazing shifts. And then Mangiapane finds Backlund in front, and Backlund fucking, it's a good thing the pass was real on the tape, and he didn't try and shoot it in the net, because you know what would happen if he's shooting into an open net. But, dude, that was so monumentally huge, and then they looked unbelievable, that line, after Backlund makes an unbelievable pass to Mangiapane with, like, 4 minutes later, there's 9 minutes left in the game. Mangiapane pulls that off. Fucking bar down. I've seen the replay 100 times. I still don't even know how he beat him.
That bar shot, like, that's permanently sketched in my fucking brain. I know I cheered loud after the Johnny goal last night, but like that Mangiapane goal.
Here's a chance. Mangiapane with Gabranson. Scores!
I don't know if I've heard the Saddle Dome that loud in like 30 years. That was unbelievably epic. And holy shit, did they need those guys to do something.
Yeah, big time.
Like, huge. Like, that was enormous. For whatever reason, I guess it's because Coleman and Mangiapane are really good players, but Backlund elevates when he's playing with guys who are better than him.
Backlund, he's been pretty damn good those last three games.
Dude, he was fucking... Based on what I watched last night, he was fucking great last night. He has that huge hit in the first, 5 minutes? Freaking creamed that guy.
He made some really good plays.
I know we ragged on him a bit for the faceoffs in game. What game was that? Game three. He was fucking great. He was great in game five and game seven.
He might be. A lot of this next series might, be held in the balance in terms of what the Backlund fucking McDavid matchup happens, because you know that's going to be the matchup.
Well, if the Flames can win. That's because that's what this series is going to come down to, because it's fucking crazy, dude. Like, four of the top eight scorers in the league we're going to see in the Battle of Alberta. Like, that's like, this is like some, this is 80 shit with how good these top players are. It's insane. And of course, the Oilers always have to have the best freaking player in the world. But what it's probably going to come down to is, again, the Flames getting depth scoring, because let's say you say Kachuk, Gaudreau, the top lines are a wash in terms of what they're going to do. You expect Connor to tack on a few more than the Flames top line. So it's going to come down to Backlund, Coleman, Manji, Tove, Foley, Dubé. I thought Dubé was fucking great last night, dude. I know he couldn't buy a goal.
Yeah,
I thought he was unbelievable last night. But
I think also officiating is going to play a big part of this next series. Oh,
my Lord.
If it's anything we saw in the first series, fuck.
Last night was the first time in the whole series that it was like actually fine. That's how playoff hockey should be called.
Yeah. And so I'm sitting here, I'm like, it's going to go either two ways. I think it's going to go the bad way, which is they're going to revert back to what we saw the rest of the.
Which favors the Oilers incredibly, because our power play sucks.
Our power play blows and theirs is fucking deadly. So I don't know. Like, I hope that round two, you know, the message to the officials is, okay, let's fucking let the boys play. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the message to the officials is call everything.
Yeah.
McDavid, give him more calls than their team just to fucking appease our little babies all around the world.
Well, this is the McDavid effect. Like, this is something I can't stand is like people like, you know, see, it's being finally called. It's like, fuck this. The reason people love playoff hockey is because it's full on hockey. It's the way hockey is supposed to be played. It's hard. It's mean. There's crazy shit going on. And we want to see 5-on-5. We don't want to see power plays all the time.
You don't see 16 minutes of 4-on-4 in a fucking playoff game.
Like, absurd. So fuck right off with that shit.
Coming back to that game 5, you're sitting there, you're down 1-0 going into the third. And I tweeted this. I'm like, okay, we need a fucking hero here. Bad. And you can't have the same hero every fucking game. You got to have secondary scoring.
That's how playoffs work.
You know that's how it works. You've seen it enough times. You have all sorts of different guys chipping in. Mangiapane was the fucking hero for game 5. My God, what a huge game from him.
Fuck, I love that kid so much.
Even that empty net goal from Lewis was like,
dude,
where did he even come from?
That is the best empty net goal of all time.
Easily.
But I think a really amazing thing. So Daryl calls, fucking, I love Daryl so much. Like, he calls out his star player before game 4. Says, I want a guy who scores big goals instead of a guy who scores 40 goals. Then Johnny Gaudreau scores the game-winning goal next game. Then he benches Andrew Mangiapane in game. Like, Monge didn't play for the last, like, what, 10 minutes?
Pretty much.
You staple to the bench. Comes out, scores the game-winning goal, sets up the game-tying goal, has the best game of his life. Guy knows how to push buttons so well.
Yep.
And then, I mean, dude, Trevor, I think it was telling, Johnny Gaudreau's on the ice. Who was it? Gaudreau, Lindholm, and Lewis on the ice for that last little stretch there. That's like, see, these are where Daryl's just been working at this since he got here last year. Like, how many times have you seen Johnny and usually Chucky and Lindholm out on the final shift in a one goal game? They're out there all the time. They're the first line over the boards. That's why. Holy shit. What a freaking empty net goal by Trevor Lewis. Have you seen a motherfucker skate that fast in your life to get to that puck?
Dude, I still don't even know how he got there.
That's the most hype empty net goal I've ever seen.
And fucking Markstrom was awesome that game.
He's like unbelievable. I like, obviously Ottinger's on another planet, but in terms of big saves at key moments, Markstrom was just as good.
Markstrom lets in one goal that's in game 6 that I don't like in the entire series. Was it the first goal in game 6?
Yeah, where Pavelski interferes with pulls up.
Yeah, and it just kind of squeaks in 5-hole. Yeah. He goes through him. But other than that, man, like, he was fucking world class.
He was insane. The Flames out chance. And I put, this is what I said. I was, because game 5 sucked, man. They were not ready to go first two periods. They were sleepy.
Yep.
And I was like, I need to see the most dominant third period I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
And holy fuck, did they deliver on that one?
I think from a fan's perspective, game 5, what gave you more of a high? The comeback in game? No, obviously the series clinching, you know.
Yeah.
That's just like on their planet. But those are pretty two close fucking feel-good wins, man.
The feel-good was more in game 5. I think just the, like, feel relief was more in game 7.
Yeah.
Because, like, you win the game in game 5 going into Dallas with the chance to eliminate them, like, you don't feel much better than that.
Yeah, you see, you hear this all the time. It's a bit of a cliche, but it's the hardest game to win is the eliminating the other team game.
Every time I hear that, I'm like, yeah, bullshit. And then it's like, holy shit, is that ever true?
It's funny how all these fucking bullshit things that we've been are now under Daryl Sutter.
Yeah,
under a properly coached team, properly managed team, now they actually are accurate. But, you know, if it's under Ward, it's just like, no, we got way bigger issues than fucking size and fucking playing with emotions and shit. Like,
we blew a 3-0 lead in game 6 against Dallas and lost, what, 7-3 or whatever that year. So, yeah, way bigger issues than size and grit and goal scoring.
But even the games we lose, we're in them all. Like, it's not – we – like, Dallas played good. They did. But even like they come back. Fuck, man. And then let's talk about Stone, because Stone comes in and it's funny, like the whole Tanev thing, I have no idea. Have you heard anything with regards to
I haven't heard a thing.
All we know is that he wasn't available for game 7, which I'm like, okay, if Tanev is finishing the last 10 games of a regular season
where you're done,
you're cooked, you're not making the playoffs, and he's still playing regular season with a broken rib. If he's not playing in game 7, like how injured is this fucking guy? And the two games before that, like game 6, that's the worst I've seen Tanev in a Flames uniform. So now it makes sense. The motherfucker's injured. But
well, I'm curious if there was even something before that that was nagging him. Cause like you said,
I think probably
he wasn't good in game 6, but he's been off all series. Like Ed, off in the way that you'd never expect Chris Tanev to be off, like fumbling pucks, missing passes, like missed, like he's been not Chris Tanev at all.
Yeah. So I don't know what that injury is. It scares me though, because is he not your best penalty killer? Maybe him and Gabranson.
Oh, but he's your best defenseman.
Like the tipping point in the next series is going to be that Edmonton power play. You got to stay the fuck out of the box, and then you have to fucking try and defend that shit. So without Chris Tanev, man, that's going to be pretty dicey.
Yeah, no shit. Without your best defensive defenseman.
Yeah. But you've seen Stone come in. And you put this on Instagram last night. We've poked a lot of fun at Stone. And and still, you know, positionally speaking, 3-on-3 down low, that's probably his biggest weakness, just the foot speed and everything. Mm. But under this system, man, this guy has – dude, he was a fucking game
– He was a beast. He was – straight up, he's the best defenseman. And obviously, he's playing limited and sheltered minutes. His performance in this series was probably the – most impressive of all the defensemen. He was a fucking rock back there.
And I don't know if you win the series without him.
You absolutely do not win the series without this guy. You don't.
Why isn't he on PP1 though? That's my question.
Yeah, seriously. Michael Stone he scores a goal in this series. He has 2 assists, 3 total points, 17 shots, 2 high danger scoring chances.
Oh, he's 8, just a bone crusher too.
Like, are you fucking kidding me, dude? He had 7 hits last night.
And these aren't like fucking, oh, Brett Ritchie, I'm going to rub you out hits. These are fucking bone-crushing hits, dude.
He had 7 hits last night.
This guy hits to hurt. And so, dude, that Zadorov hit in this game 6. Holy fuck, has he been effective. How much have you loved watching this guy?
Dude, like, he's been like...
he's hurting people. That's probably how Hintz got hurt. Or I don't know, but...
hey, folks, just got to fit in a word from our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. So the playoffs are going on, and DraftKings has an unreal offer for the most exciting playoffs in all of sports, as long as you discount Game 2 of the Dallas Calgary Series. New customers can bet just $5 on any team to win, and you get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. DraftKings is really easy to use. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That code is THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details.
Like, it's funny. You're seeing this. I mean, this is always a story in playoff series too, is the attrition part. And over time, like, this Calgary Flames team, dude, we are not easy to play against when it comes to battle of attrition. Like, we got some big boys playing hockey back there. Like, Zadorov was a fucking monster in this series.
Dude, Zadorov was a monster. Gabranson was a monster. Lucic was a monster. Stone was a monster. Lewis was a monster. Dubé was
Dubé was
a monster. Coleman was ratcheted up. Like, Coleman was pegging guys left, right, and center. Like, these guys are Chucky. They're gonna like, holy shit, are they gonna punish the piss out of the Oilers? They may not win, but they're gonna punish them.
One thing heading into the Oilers series that you got to take, that you learned from this series, especially if you're Matthew Tkachuk, do not get caught up in the fucking shenanigans. I don't know. It seems like Tkachuk is not injured. But before game seven, I think the consensus was he must be injured because he sucks now. And then you're looking back at the – you do not need to fucking – look, the one fight's fine, right? But you don't need it, back-to-back games you're going to fight. You see, yeah, his knuckles are still all fucked up from that.
Game one is fine. That's fine. Game two, when you do it and you're, like, going offside and, like, nullifying a scoring chance and what could have been a goal, okay, like, stop. Game three, you're doing it again. Like, dude, come on.
Well, and that is one thing that we've really seen a shift this regular season. Chucky was not really much of a shenanigan player. He, you know, he's doing the face washes and everything, but he was more focused on
scoring goals,
being an elite top line player. And so it seemed like at near the end of the season, the Predators game, he was just kind of starting to, you know, start focusing on that a little too much. And this was kind of a big discussion point for Matthew Tkachuk last season, right? After the whole Muzzin incident, a lot of the fan base is like, would you just stop? But then, you know, we're kind of pushing back. We're like, no, this is what makes him who he is. He found a happy medium this season. Motherfucker scored the quietest 100-point, 40-goal season maybe ever.
And probably should be in the Selke trophy talk, given how unbelievable he was at both ends of the rink this year.
So we need that player in this next round more than the fucking shenanigans shit starter. Like, I don't give a fuck about Zach Cassian getting caught with his head down. I just want to beat the fucking Oilers.
Correct.
So, and I mean,
he's too, it's like, his role has changed a little bit too. He's now, it's not Monahan, Gaudreau, Lindholm anymore. You need him on the ice as much as possible.
Yeah. Same thing goes for fucking Rasmus Anderson. As soon as he starts getting caught up in that bullshit, his game fucking starts to tank a bit.
They get too distracted.
So I hope that that's something that the leadership group within the team, as well as coaching staff, helped fucking bring back on track in this last series. And something that these guys are going to learn from going into what's going to be very, it's going to be very fucking tempting to start mixing it up with these pieces.
You know that coke-headed bonehead Cassian, you know what he's going to be doing the first shift. He's going to be out there fucking headhunting, looking to kill somebody.
You know that when you see McDavid's ugly fucking toilet face coming down the ice and smiling when he scores some fucking ridiculous goal, you're going to want to punch all these guys' lights out. You know that fucking when Leon Draisaitl fucking dives in the middle of the fucking center ice, gets a call, and then scores a fucking goal in the fucking ensuing power play, and then slashes you afterwards and fucking...
and doesn't get a penalty for it.
Does his little pouty face back to the bench. You know you're going to want to fucking rip his stupid face off. But if you got to learn this lesson that Dallas Stars just gave to you. Matthew Tkachuk is a more effective player when he's focused on being a top-line guy. Rasmus Anderson, more effective when he's not getting fucking caught into a beaking match. You can beak these fucking losers once you beat them, but don't start the series like that, please.
Yeah, you got to be focused up in the first few games, like all-time focused up. No fucking around.
It's going to be tempting, but I think the leadership group and the coaching staff probably helped bring that back on track last series.
So. Yeah, totally. I was just looking at some hit stats in this series. Chris Tanev got the dude got demolished in this series. He took the most hits of anybody in the series. He took 26 hits.
Dude, there was when I was sitting row three in my corner, fucking there was a shift where he came with the puck and Ben came in and he popped him, dude. Like he caught him and Tanev was stunned a little bit. And about 2 seconds later, he got high-sticked right in the face by a Dallas Stars player, but it was kind of behind the play. And Tanev didn't even fucking – like most guys, when they fucking get high-sticked, they have their fucking head go back and they're grabbing their face. That's not who Chris Tanev is. He gets high-sticked and they fucking doesn't do anything. So – but, man, he took a beating, dude. even in that game I was there, he was taking a fucking beating.
And I mean, the guy blocked 14 shots and took 26 hits. He took a physical freaking beating. So, yeah, and like you said, if he's not playing, something's wrong. Like, holy shit. So, hopefully a speedy recovery, because as much as Michael Stone was an absolute beast out there, I'm already having night sweats about Connor hopping over the boards.
Well, the foot speed on the Stars is going to be quite a bit different than the fucking Oilers. Oh.
I'm emotionally exhausted.
Thoughts on the Zadorov hit?
I don't know. I thought it was fine.
Surprised. I think Daryl Sutter summed it up perfectly. Can't remember the exact quote.
He said it's a hockey play.
This is a hockey play, and he says quite shocking actually that it there was a hearing because of it when there's been slew foots in this series.
Yeah, see, exactly. Like, that's what's bullshit, right? Freaking Ben, how many slew foots did Jamie Benn have in this series? And then like a hockey hit, they're gonna freaking investigate. Get the fuck out of here.
Fuck off. But that dude, that is a clean fucking hit. He makes direct body contact with basically the ribs up to the top of the head all at one simultaneous time. So
yeah, it was similar to the Kasha hit against Toronto earlier this year. Just friggin' crushed him. Like, pretty standard hockey hit. And
knocked him out of game seven.
Pretty punishing hit.
That's what you love to see. I don't know where Hintz got injured, but he's knocked out for game seven too. Like, this is something, even in 2004, we're like, we're scrappy. We had some bangers, but not really so much on the back end.
You didn't have anything like this.
You had Simon and Olo up front.
Yeah, you like Regier. Like, he's going to be, I don't think Regier is even as physical and, like, obviously not as big as Sidorov.
He's a fucking monster.
Yeah, he's a monster. Honestly, like, I know everyone's like, oh, he's going to be a casualty of like this, the signing next year. And I get he plays bottom pairing minutes and you're probably gonna have to let him go, but I would love to see him back. Like, that's the thing about him is like, he's bone crushingly physical and big, but he can skate. He can move the puck and he's really good at defense. He's not like one of these guys who's like kind of maybe like Gabranson was early in his career before he got to Calgary and suddenly good, where it's like, okay, yeah, he's just big and that's it. It's like, he's good. He can do a lot of things for your team on the back end too.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, that's, you're looking at game six heading into game seven, and then you're starting to see our big boys started to wear down the Dallas Stars, that's a feat, because Dallas Stars is a fucking big, tough hockey team. That's their bread and butter. But that comes back to this team to get you to the playoffs, team to get you through. Like, you need this to get you through the playoffs.
Totally. And I mean, like,
fucking
I said,
war.
It's a freaking war of a, it's a mental war. It's the most, dude, the Stanley Cup is the hardest trophy to win in all sports. And it's not even freaking close. More teams go through more in one round of playoff hockey than I think any athlete goes through in like any other entirety of the postseason. Like, if you're a guy, you know that trimming your balls is a lot like playing game seven overtime in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's very risky. You can't make any mistakes and you need precision pinpoint accuracy like Johnny Gaudreau. So Manscaped has made the Lawnmower 4.0. It's the one tool you need if you're going to buy anything from Manscaped. So right now you can head over to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code DOME. That code is DOME. They have the lawnmower trimmer, but they got lots of other great stuff. Right now, you can get the Performance Package 4.0, which has the lawnmower. It has a ear and nose trimmer. It has ball deodorant. It has a ball toner. It's got boxers. It's got a travel bag. You get floor mats, so you don't have to make a mess. I mean, you're probably already using like the Edmonton Journal as a floor mat whenever the Oilers win or if they lose, to trim your balls right on the Oilers' face. In any case, you can go to Manscaped right now and get 20% off and free shipping with the code DOME. Manscaped.com, 20% off, free shipping, Manscaped.com, code DOME. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Well, especially when you have all these past fucking demons you're carrying around with you, and you got to play through those two. Fucking game seven, they get it done. Johnny has the A to start the game.
Woo-hoo! Some good juju. I know Mantana was out, but that was some like that was some emotional shit right there. I was like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, I think that's a good, that's some good vibes right there.
That was, you're right. It is like that. This is one of those things that, I don't know, would it even have surprised you if you, Johnny goes through his whole career? He just seems to be that kind of guy that, I don't know, just because he's small, right? He doesn't get really seen as in a leadership role. I don't know what it is, but it's not like, has anybody in the media ever pushed for fucking Johnny Gaudreau to wear a fucking A or a fucking C? Never, dude.
No, and like, it's straight up, he's totally matured under Daryl, like to a pretty noticeable degree.
Oh, like, he's
on the ice, off the ice. It's unbelievable.
He's our most fucking valuable player. So I think I agree. That was a classy move by Sutter. A guy that, I mean, on the last podcast, we talked about Johnny getting interviewed by the Spit and Chicklets guys. And well, I guess it was just Bissonnette, but get interviewed by Bissonnette in the American broadcast. Was there any exchange on the bench? Johnny says, nope, nothing. But there was an exchange after that game. Did you see that?
Saw it. I mean, which embrace is better, Daryl and Johnny or Sean Monahan and Johnny?
Fuck, that Sean, the Monahan one was sad, dude. Hey? Dude,
it was just like, I had forgotten the poor guy even existed, and they show him like creeping on the, and the Flames posted it like the behind the scenes angle, but the broadcast one was more, it was funny. I know everyone was like crying and shit, but I was just like, holy fuck, there's Monahan. He's creeping around in his freaking shorts.
It's been so funny in the last three games, eh? Oh, there's a Monahan sighting. Oh, there's another Monahan sighting. Oh, there's another. He's like on the plane. He's like walking into the fucking dressing room or the rink with these guys coming off the plane. Oh, there's Monahan. God.
He's just literally around because like the team, like the guys like him. It's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I got to pick the Daryl and Johnny.
Like, you know what? Like, I was thinking of, like, I don't know if Daryl said this after he won with the Kings or around when he was hired. I can't remember, but I remember him saying some quote about, like, how satisfying it is to win when you've, like, worked your ass off for it. And, like, you know you've done it the right way and you know you've done all the work beforehand. And then you get rewarded. And it's just, like, the most fucking rewarding thing ever.
And that's what that series was.
That's what that goal was. That's the feeling you felt after that. And the players felt, obviously, because like Jerry Seinfeld says, we didn't win, they won, you watched. But it was, you could tell it's what the guys were feeling. Like, just like, that's the reward of working your ass off. And it's fucking worth it.
Totally. And that's kind of, you know, the tipping of the balance. That's what made the difference in the series. But that exchange between Daryl and Johnny, that's kind of like, that's the current snapshot of Johnny Gaudreau and his trajectory of his career and where he's going. Whereas the exchange with Monty is just kind of like where he came from. I don't know what the future holds for Sean Monahan. If you're up against the cap the way that Boston Pizza Jr. is, we haven't had to mention his name for a while, hey? Forgot his name.
Forgot he even exists. Boy, does he owe Daryl Sutter some freaking stocks in Boston Pizza.
Seriously. But I don't see how, if you're Brad, you can go into next season with Monahan still on your roster. Unless he's going to be on the LITR, but I don't know, man. I don't know if Sean Monahan is going to be a Calgary Flame come next season, but we'll see what happens.
Somebody said he should be like he'll just be on contract to be like Harvey.
Yeah.
Under the Harvey mask is Sean.
Dude, that is epic. Could you imagine?
Hey. Harvey would be the most boring he's ever been.
Starts tonight. It starts to. Fucking Jane Goudreau. You know, it's pretty funny. Did you hear Johnny's interview after?
Yeah, about his family being on Twitter. Yeah,
because I saw this after that interview, but Jane said something about a real emotional night for her when she found out Johnny was wearing the A.
And it is like, you're right, man. That's some seriously fucking, that is good juju. That was the right call. Like, and these are the little things, right, that Daryl Sutter picks up on. But
he picks up on them in the right way, like, right, like all of us fans
when they mean something.
Yeah, like we're kind of like, and he doesn't overplay it, right? Because they ask him about it, he's like, yeah, Johnny was next up, like he's part of this, like doesn't make a big deal about it. Neither did Johnny, right? And that's how it should be. It shouldn't be like it means more to us usually, but it's not that it's meaningless, but...
Well, dude, that is a big deal, man. Like, if you're looking...
But Daryl doesn't play it up like it's, like, the thing that won them the fucking series. He's just exactly. Like, yeah, same, like, it's just...
Well, that's because he's a fucking beauty, dude.
Yeah.
But you're sitting here as a fan, and you're looking at all the... You're looking at Johnny Gaudreau's career. You're talking about fucking demons and fucking silencing critics, Eric Francis. And all the shit this guy's gone through in this organization. It's kind of like, you know, when you watch... What a show, and it's like a 10 series long. When you watch fucking, I didn't get into Game of Thrones, I know you did, but you watch, you get really invested in characters in a show. When the show ends, you miss them. It's weird. That's fucking not even real. This is the real thing. Johnny Gaudreau's been here how many seasons? You develop a relationship with these guys. And that's why you brought this up on the last one. It's emotional, right? A lot of people are brought to tears by what happened. Because this motherfucker did it. And to see him get the A last night, I think it is a big deal for Johnny Gaudreau. It means a lot to him. And the amount of shit that this guy's been through here with our fan base, there's been a lot of ups, there's been a lot of downs. But that was kind of like a very signature way to go into game 7, where he ends up being the fucking hero in overtime.
Yeah, you can't write that shit any better. Like, geez.
So, I mean, and then, you know, they ask Johnny about it. It was funny. He's like, I don't know, my family, what they're doing on Twitter half the time. I'm like, fucking. But that was cool. Jane mentions that. And then, obviously, your son scores the fucking. Dude, has there anybody, when in Flames history, has a player face as much personal, self-directed fucking, just in, like, he has been picked on by the media and the fans since fucking he's been here.
Since his rookie year.
Has one player in Calgary Flames history gone through that much criticism is my question. Not since fucking I've been following this team. Has there?
Well, has there been a star player who's ever? No, not even close. Like, maybe the random players who suck, but like, over a 10 year period, absolutely no. Like, there's been nobody who's faced more kicks in the balls, more shit from fans and media alike than Johnny Gaudreau as a Calgary Flame. And it's like, all this guy has done is put his balls on the lines with this team every night for the past 8 years.
Yeah. All the Calgary Flames couldn't win a playoff series, so it must be fucking 5'8" Johnny Gaudreau's fault. Rests squarely on his shoulders. Got a fucking amateur coach back there, but, you know, making fucking boneheaded decisions. The team doesn't even have a fucking training camp, but it's all Johnny Gaudreau's fault. So, dude, that is, if you're part of the Johnny Gaudreau family,
that's vindication right there.
You've been along for the ride, and you've had to deal with the criticism. That's your fucking name getting dragged through the mud. Time and time after again. So she must, that dude, if we went through emotional roller coaster, imagine fucking Jane Boudreaux.
I love how, like, it's Brady's at the fucking red lot.
Dude, what is going on?
Shooting t-shirts out of a cannon.
What is going on?
God, the freaking Gaudreau's on Twitter, like, live tweet. It's just like, holy shit, I love this team.
Well, it's just like, why, like, you're going to go watch a show where the fucking plot line's already written out? Or are you going to fucking... This is reality TV.
People say... Yeah, people... How can you not like sport? What is wrong with you if you don't watch and like sports? Like, give me a freaking break, dude.
Okay, we got to talk about Brady Tkachuk, dude. Like, are you kidding me? The guy flies into Calgary. He's amping up the crowd at the red lot. Fucking rocking the Matthew Tkachuk Flames t-shirt. Who fucking does this? This guy is a captain for another NHL team.
It's unbelievable. Like, have you, is this, this doesn't happen. Like, again, like, imagine freaking Brandon Tanev's there, like, freaking getting the crowd going, or Mark Stone. Like, can you imagine Mark Stone shows up and just like, yeah, go Flames.
What the fuck? This is hilarious. I'm still don't know what to think about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I always think, like, okay, if that was Kachuk at a Sens game, I'd be kind of pissed off, maybe.
Well, now I wouldn't. Obviously, if I think it's different because the Senators are kind of irrelevant. Yeah. Right?
If he played for the Oilers, this would not be.
Yeah, they're in a different conference. They rarely see each other. They're best buddies. This is hilarious, though, dude. Like, he is literally becoming a fanboy for this fucking fan base.
It's freaking hilarious. Brady's hilarious, dude. And Kachuk's hilarious. Dude, how do you not love? There's so many guys to love on this team. It's just insane.
Did you hear the Milan Lucic interview afterwards? Was that Scott Oak or was it Leslie?
I think it was Someone's Leslie. Like, I don't think Scott Oak was there.
Are you ready to face your buddy, your friend, your up north, Connor McDavid? And Lucic kind of laughs at first. He's like, what are you talking about? He's not my friend.
Thank God, because Lucic has been far too kind for his buddies the last few years.
Dude, he is going to be pivot. I think he's going to be a real fucking important piece.
This dude, upcoming series, dude. Like, I know he didn't play much last night, but like, holy shit, was he good last night?
Zach Kassian gonna be huge. The biggest guy. I guess they got Evander Kane and they got Darnell Nurse.
Dude, get the fuck out of here. They are like bitch shit compared to us.
Yeah, they are.
Like, seriously, like, you're telling me. Like, people have been worried about Gaudreau's, but like, what are they like?
Dude, if
Yamamoto Gaudreau, is gonna die.
Dude, if Gaudreau can find a way to elevate against the Dallas Stars,
yeah, like, it's really interesting to look at Gaudreau, how many hits he takes. He only took 4 hits in that entire series.
From game 5 on, he was just like a new whole nother level, dude. Like, he figured it out.
That's what always impresses me about him. Is that, and people will say, like, oh, it's because he avoids contact. It's like, yeah, he has to.
Yeah. Imagine fucking running around with guys literally twice your size.
Imagine you're 6'2", Mr. Oh, Johnny Gaudreau is too much of a pussy. Okay, get on skates and then put Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime on skates and have him chase after you and try to kill you and see how many hits you want to take.
That's like going in a boxing match against Mike Tyson being like, oh, he just tried not to get hit the whole time. Yeah, that's part of the point.
Of course.
Yeah, might help you win. So, dude, okay, let's this game 7 was a microcosm of the macrocosm series. Ben, like you said, scores 40 seconds in. You're the roller coaster. Like, how long did that wait feel like for game 7?
It was fucking 2 weeks, it felt like. Like I said, like Friday to Saturday or to Sunday, like it feels like I've been awake for like the last 4 days.
I don't think I need to know it's Monday, but.
Yeah, it is Monday.
I wouldn't know. Like, what day is it? Where am I?
It's almost June.
Ben scores and immediately you're. It's because of the PTSD, man. I mean, the demons, the same thing as the Leafs, dude. Like, the Leafs had a chance to put away the Lightning, and they have that round 1 game 7 fucking demon that they couldn't exercise. A little easier to do against the Stars and the fucking Tampa Bay Lightning, but regardless, these guys still had to go through it. But Ben scores 40 seconds in. Like, fuck off. The crowd is amped, jacked, ready to go, ready to fuel this fucking team. And then Ben scores 40 seconds into the game.
Yeah. And like I said, I had finally made up my mind. I was like, they got this. Not 10 minutes before the game. And then literally score, like, holy shit. The fact they managed to just stick with it and regroup, like, wow. That tells you everything you need to know.
Well, not only that, they regroup. The Foley gets his first the series. What a goal. It's a fucking goal scorer's goal. Zero room, and you battle in front and tip that in. Love it. And then 30 seconds later, the Dallas Stars make it 2-1. You're like, holy fuck. I've seen this all season long with the Flames. They don't let go of control of the game. And then you're like, are we going to get fucking Flames here? So then you're going through the same thing. It's a fucking roller coaster, man. You're up, you're down. And the ups are high and the downs are just fucking to the depths of despair that we've experienced the last fucking 20 years of being a Flames fan. So it's fucking hard. It's fucking hard to go through. Then you're like, okay. Then Matthew Tkachuk. These are the guys. Toffoli, Tkachuk, Gaudreau. Your game 7 heroes. What a goal by Matthew Tkachuk, dude.
Sniped it. Freaking sniped it. And Tkachuk, he's so much better. Like, not even just like the extracurricular stuff, but I find, and I know everybody kind of gets on me because then he scores the insane between the legs goal. But like, to me, Matthew Tkachuk is the best in the NHL, like meat and potatoes hockey player. When he's just playing hockey, he's fucking great. When he's trying to just like, and he's skilled, absolutely, but he always seems to just like, you know, try like a little too much for my liking when he's doing things like that. And that goal, perfect example, nothing fancy, just fucking bar down, great shot off the rush.
Well, that's the only way you were beating Ottinger. He's not letting anything in down low, dude, unless it's posted in. So you either got to go post it in or bar down. Like, that's it. You got two of fucking options. That was, not only the monumentous fucking of that goal, it's game 7 to tie it up, but the goal he scores, like that execution of that to snipe, I don't even think it went bar down. I think it went net down, dude.
Yeah, it like hit the back part, like the white top part. Yeah,
the top part of the net. Like that was the biggest goal of his life.
Easily. I like how they ask Gaudreau after the game. They're like, oh, yeah, you scored a lot of big goals. Where does this rank? And Johnny's like, are you kidding me?
He's like, is that even a fucking question?
Yeah, that's right.
That's like asking Kawhi Leonard, hey, is that the – where's that rank up there with the baskets you scored? The only fucking serious clinching buzzer beater of all time in the NBA. It's probably that one, you dummy.
Probably number one, fuckhead.
That did have Kawhi Leonard fucking – vibes though, eh?
Yeah, seriously.
Game 7, you can't beat this guy. Did you hear the Dallas broadcast afterwards?
No.
It was during that flurry that you're talking about where Hanifin.
Yeah.
And the Dallas broadcast, like, they're never going to score on this guy.
Dude.
They're like losing their mind. Like, oh, I was the same. God, they can't score. They'll never score on him. It's not going to happen. Like, they were in disbelief saying it. They were
I was, too. Was this Dallas stream just, like, a live feed of my house? That's exactly what I was saying. I was on the floor, almost weeping, saying, they're never going to score.
No, there's ways. There's ways. Because even in game 5, game 6, those chances in tight where he's making those fucking big saves, there's still net to shoot at. You're just not hitting it.
They're just hitting them. And that's what it felt like. It was like, hey, it has to break. But then every time Dallas would come down, it was just like, I'm clenching my ass. Like, they're just going to get a lucky one. And like, again, Hugh Markstrom makes 2 unbelievable saves in overtime. That one on Pavelski, I shit in my pants, dude.
Dude, the last thing I wanted to do was go to overtime with these guys.
Yeah, like, holy shit.
Because it's fucking flip a coin.
Because it comes down to one shot. Everything's out the window.
And you don't know what's going in. Could be a lucky bounce. Could be a fucking stupid mistake. And, dude, the first 5 minutes of overtime, like, Dallas.
It was tense.
Did we even touch? We had zero possession.
Yeah.
Like, the first 5 minutes.
It was scary.
That was so hard to watch. I was dying. And then we get the power play. That was actually a good power play, generated a lot. And then we took over from there, man. The momentum, we like you said, that there was like 3 minutes of just like pure unadulterated, just fucking shot after shot, traffic, shot attempt, more. It was like the Dallas series flip the other way.
Yeah, right? I remember at that
when just like it's just a matter of time before we're gonna get scored.
Like
on.
It was like it was like the sequence when they tied the remember Pavelski tied it in like or did they win it? I think they might have even won that game. I don't know. The game where Lindholm couldn't clear the puck or whatever.
Yeah, they
and it was just like they kept coming and coming and coming. It was like holy fuck, they're gonna score, and then they score. That's what it was like. And it's a lot better to be on this side of it this time.
So how did you celebrate? Did you go nuts?
Dude, like I just fell. I was on the floor and I just fell to my knees and ran around the house. I said, Johnny scored, Johnny scored, Johnny scored, Johnny scored, Johnny scored, Johnny scored, Johnny scored.
I know it wasn't even like it wasn't your typical just like get up and fucking It was just like, oh my fucking God.
And the fact it was Johnny made it all the more like I was just frick, dude.
No, you can't like again before the series or on the after the first podcast, two games in, you're like, ooh,
yeah,
we don't know the storyline yet. But that storyline, dude, holy fuck, this is getting better than that.
No, it makes it all worth it, dude. It makes all that torture worth it for us. Imagine what it's like for the players.
All right, thoughts on I'm pretty worried about Tanev because it also means we're probably going to see more Brett Ritchie. I guess Ritchie was okay. He just doesn't bring you much. I guess maybe we'll see if he amps it up a bit physically against the Oilers, but I still am sitting here wondering if we wouldn't be better with Rizic getting there.
Yeah, I think come on, like Rizic can, you know, skate and he can
at least he can chip in
offensively, which you really need. So, I mean, if there was a few of those, like Richie actually had a wide open chance last night. I don't think it was in overtime. He was in the third.
Yeah.
He gets the puck right in the slot and flubs it. If you had a guy who on that line with Lucic and Lewis, because I don't think Lucic and Lewis, they can play with anybody. So I don't know. I'd prefer to see Rizic or even Carpenter in there.
Oh man, this is sorry. Let's look at what about Yarnkrog? Where are you at with this guy? Yeah, game six was he 0-for-13 on the faceoff? I thought he was fucking brutal.
He was brutal in game six. He goes 0-for-12. He was like the worst player on the ice. He had like a sub-40 expected goal share, sub-20 possession share. I thought he was the thing with him though is like weird. It's like because he works his ass off, right?
Yeah.
Like when he's on the ice, I'm like, yeah, he's working. You can tell he's going for it, but it's just like he has failed to make any noticeable impact on this team in any way. He was good last night. I don't know. You need him to get like he had a chance to score last night. He couldn't bury it. You need him to start chipping in offensively.
Yeah, totally. Okay, man. Let's look a little bit ahead here. To Edmonton. What was your take on the Edmonton series?
I thought LA
Los Angeles. Yeah, go ahead. Like LA,
I thought LA could have beat them if they had any firepower, which they don't.
There was points in that series, like it was at game five, where you're looking in the second period and the shots are like fucking 25-7. The Kings were just fucking dominating. Like they really took over different parts of the series. Edmonton responds and fucking Connor McDavid wins it for them. But if you're trying to size this team up right now without shooting our fucking jinxing ourselves, like how do you think we're going to match up here?
Well, as much like the Tanev thing is huge, like that could be a difference maker in the series.
Yep.
It sounds
like Draisaitl is banged up too.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at how the Kings just played the Oilers and they pushed them to seven games, and I mean, sure, now they're battle hardened too, and they're going to learn from, they're going to take what happened in that seven game series. But I mean, like the Kings play a possession game similar to the Flames, but they're not nearly as fast, and they don't have the firepower
or physical.
Or the physicality or the big bodies on the back end.
I think Quick played well, but Markstrom still.
Yeah, better. And like Markstrom is better than Mike Smith. Like, holy shit. So, I mean, if you're looking at this on paper and how these teams play and how these teams both just played in their first round series, like you got to give the edge to the Flames. You got to think the Flames can beat them in a seven game series. Like, I mean, obviously, that's the thing. If they're going to, if it's going to come down to, is the Flames team better than Connor McDavid? That's kind of pretty much it. Isn't it?
Well, it's always the fucking case when you play these losers.
Right?
Like, you, like, here's the other thing. The number one thing, you're like, okay, we got past Ottinger. Who's next? Mike Smith.
Yeah. Who we can get past.
We can get past. Like, he's cleaned his game up a bit. But again, it's Mike Smith. He's always one fucking play or one shot away from just like
making. Well, dude, I mean, if you have that many score, like the Flames had like what 100 and whatever shot attempts at 5-on-5 last night.
Yeah.
And 60 shots. They had 51 scoring chances 5-on-5 last night. If that's the volume of quality shots you're throwing at Mike Smith, it's only a matter of time. And I mean, the Oilers defense is the Oilers defense.
Yep. Oh, dude, like, A, the goaltending doesn't compare. B, Dallas played the trap to, yeah, they executed that
perfectly. Like, they have that down so well.
And the size that they have, like, that is a difficult thing to beat. The 7-game series, but the fucking Flames found a way. The Oilers is the opposite. Their defense is not very good. Their goaltending is not as good as Ottinger. This series is going to look, take a different shape.
It's going to be, yeah, the Flame. I feel like the Flames are going to be able to implement their game a little bit more. I think probably on the flip side, Connor McDavid, like, again, with that defense, I don't know, like, it favors the Flames in every category except Connor McDavid's the best player on the fucking earth.
Yeah.
Which, I don't, and again, you got to think over 7 games, that's pretty difficult to do.
Draisaitl sounds like he's banged up. Like, he wasn't even questionable. Did he miss a game?
Yeah, he might have missed games. Did he miss game 6? I don't think he did. He missed chunks of time, I think.
He's not 100%. But
the thing about him, though, is like he's a power play guy. And like I posted some stats. He was like I get he's hurt. He was like their worst player in terms of expected goals for. He had been on the ice for like 7 of the 11 5-on-5 goals against. That's a matchup. That's a player the Flames can exploit if they're playing their game. So I really do think this just comes to how much can you limit Connor McDavid's damage? You're not going to stop it. And can you freaking, like, because that's the thing. The Oilers, all they have to do is outscore us, which is hard to do against the Calgary Flames.
But fuck, dude. They just need to get on the power play.
Yeah, that's the problem, is they will kill you on the power play. Like, kill you.
So if it's going to be a highly fucking penalized series both ways, like, we're in trouble.
We're in huge trouble. So they got to cool it.
Our power play is fucking not very good.
I haven't looked at any numbers. We'll maybe do a Oilers preview tomorrow. But in terms of how many power play goals they scored on us this year, I feel like it was probably a lot. But I mean, just like, dude, like, okay, you have the goaltender advantage. Your defense is better even without Tanev. Your team defense is miles better. Your depth is better. You're more physical.
But your special teams,
the power play, their power play is the best power play in the world. Our power play is not.
What did we go fucking that last night?
Was 2 for 23, I think, in the whole series. Fuck, yeah, dude. That's brutal.
Awful, dude. So it's not even like you're generating much either.
Yeah. So
we'll see if there's some adjustments. But
the Oilers have some guys who are going to be tough to deal with in the playoffs. Hyman, Yamamoto, but.
Well, Kane's going to be easy to handle too.
Kane can playoff. Fuck right off. Hopefully Kachuk can reel it in when Kane's out there running his mouth.
Dude, this is gonna get nasty.
Yeah, this is gonna get brutal. But I mean, given the series we just had, I think the Flames should beat the Oilers. Like,
yes. Now,
like, they should.
Factors you gotta look at is the attrition thing. Doesn't seem like we're that banged up other than Chris Tanev. Maybe Shillington's sore today.
Maybe Kachuk too. Like, he's got that. Didn't he get cut on the leg or something? And maybe has a hand thing. So he's still probably a little banged up.
But he's got two more. He looked fucking fine last night.
Yeah.
He's got 2 days of rest. So maybe he's on the up and up.
But I don't know. I don't know how banged up they are. Like that, we just played a way more physical series. That's for sure. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think game one, and the beauty thing is you got Daryl Sutter. So typically you're like, okay, game one's going to be pivotal already. Now the second round, everything gets fucking that much more amplified. But you just come off a grueling fucking series. You get pushed to your absolute limit. You find a way to break through. Naturally, it'd be easy to fucking, you know, not be able to mentally be that engaged for game one. But then you got Daryl Sutter there. Like, even after the game, these guys are pretty even fucking keel, dude, after that win.
Dude, did you hear him before the game?
Daryl?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
They're like, how's it going today? And he's like, it's beautiful day. Beautiful day. Got baby geese outside in the backyard. It's beautiful.
Springtime.
Game seven, only the most important game in the last 30 years. But I mean, honestly, if the Flames do play like they did against Dallas, they're going to freaking put up 10 goals a game on Mike Smith. Like, and I like, let's give Smith credit. He got a shutout in game seven of their series. Like, that's a good performance, even though like LA was not very good. LA doesn't have nearly the talent we have or the depth. So it's not like he's just going to be the easiest guy in the world to score on, but we have the advantage in so many freaking areas that we should be. We are, if this is the best the Flames are situated to beat the Oilers in a playoff series they have ever been, ever.
Yeah, it's not like it's football and it's one game. You could easily go the Oilers' way. It's a seven-game series. But I think if you're the Flames, game one, you have to set the tone physically speaking. And I'm not talking shenanigans, but you need to start grinding and wearing these guys down game one. Like, you can't even wait for game two. Because I don't think they played as physical a series as you just did. And I'm not sure who that benefits. You can make it benefit you if you fucking carry that into game one and just keep rolling. Or you can be a little bitch and fucking say, oh, my leg hurts. And let fucking Edmonton others skate around you. So that's why it's just like, thank God we have Daryl. He's going to keep these guys in check every fucking step along the way.
Well, dude, the Oilers go 7-for-19 on the power play in round one. Flames go like, what, 2-for-23?
Fuck, dude.
Like, that's going to be the absolute key. And you know the refs are going to be. Oh,
God.
You know what it's going to be like, dude. You know game one is going to be like 18 power plays.
And prepare yourself for fucking hell. You think fucking playing the Oilers in the regular season and watching McDavid highlights all game long is bad? Yeah. Wait till it's a fucking playoff game. Like, these guys will not stop jerking off all night long. It's going to be just all dicks in your face all night long. That's basically
Let's watch Connor McDavid pick his butthole on the bench. Johnny Gaudreau had a hat trick tonight. We're just going to throw that in there. But Connor McDavid with a really nice, he is actually picking his nose there. Oh, and he's going to eat it. We're going to watch that instead. Okay, Flames sweep. Tomorrow, 24 hours of Oilers coverage about how they got swept and how they deserve to win anyways. Like, that's what it's going to be like for fucking 2 weeks.
Dude, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not watching any Sportsnet, period.
Oh my God. Yeah, maybe we can get an American feed going on, eh?
Seriously, like something. Can we get TNT? But I don't know. Like, the Flames should crush the Oilers. I know everyone, and like, dude, this is coming from the guy who's been scared shitless to play the Oilers. I am so fucking ready to play these guys. And maybe I'll be singing a different tune when shift one and Noah Hanifin's on the ice and Connor McDavid flies by him and I'll be scared out of my mind. I am so fucking ready to beat these losers.
All right, we'll have more for you in terms of setting the stage for this round. As Kachuk said, it's important to fucking just process the series we just played. Take away everything we can. There was a lot of great things to take away from that series. A lot. There's not a lot of negative things. Again, I think Dallas was a hell of an opponent. And they definitely forced you to... They made you win. They forced you to win. And this team historically has found ways to beat themselves, to lose. They didn't fall into that again. And not only that, but they got over the hump. They got over the threshold of playing a team that's fucking really tough to beat when they execute that trap defensive playoff style hockey. That was some big boy hockey. Pretty special moment for a coach that has really helped Johnny Gaudreau. And I think Daryl just smiled.
Took 63 shots to get three passed on. Johnny Gaudreau with the overtime winner. What a game.
This is awesome. It's special. It's a great, great fan base here. We love playing in front of them. It's great to get a win here in game seven. And a big round coming up for us.
It made us earn every single inch. I don't have enough, can't stop. I can't even talk.
We're going to enjoy this tonight and get back to work tomorrow and get ready for a fun series coming up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.